Dare I ask? Can I be still more clear? Yes. We can talk about repentance until we are blue in the face. We can write thousands of words in periodicals and books about conversion and spill gallons of ink in deploring the sinful conduct not only of millions of ordinary people, but of leaders in society who become idols of the media precisely because they are such geniuses in the propagation of error and the perpetration of crime. And my friends, for the rest of your lives, never separate evil from error. But all of this will do no good. All this writing, all this wringing of hands, all the speeches, all the complaints will do no good unless we have access to the channels of superhuman power, which means access to the grace of God. Having said this, the next question follows logically. What are these channels of grace? There are mainly three. First, faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God who became the Son of Mary. Those who believe in Him have access to divine grace. And I would add, and no one else. And the measure of our access to the power that He can give us, the measure of our access to the grace He can confer, is determined by the depth and firmness of our faith in Him. I repeat, watch it. Faith in Him as a Son twice over, the Son of the living God who became the Son of a human mother. Secondly, prayer. And we want to have access to that superhuman, here, super demonic power that we need. We must pray to Jesus Christ, especially through His Mother Mary. Those who pray are powerful. Those who do not pray are helpless. And as with faith, so with prayer. Our measure of power to cope with the evil spirit is determined by the fervor and the frequency and the depth of our prayer. Those who pray are a match for the devil. Those who do not pray are victims of the evil spirit. Thirdly, penance. For our purpose, penance is the voluntary sacrifice of what we naturally find pleasant in reparation for sin and in union with the sufferings of Jesus Christ crucified. I might ask if any of you have read the story of the original Fatima, Apparitions and Locutions. If you haven't, may I recommend that you do so. I further recommend, beyond reading, reflecting, even meditating on the Church's explanation of these communications from Our Lady. You will be struck by their utter simplicity. There are no subtleties, and there is no theological speculation. Three little children could all understand. Why because, hear it, they had faith. They prayed, and they had a spiritual instinct for self-denial. I've taught for too many years in enough universities, my own fellow Jesuits for 25 years, intelligent men in graduate schools. What a difference between being an intellectual and being intelligent. At the root of being intelligent is union with God. These three little children were, shall I say, in spite of their age, profoundly intelligent. Let me repeat. In order to cope with the massive evils that are penetrating the modern world and the desperate need for converting this world to return to the God from whom it has strayed, divine grace is necessary, and this divine grace is available. I wish to emphasize, underline, and encircle, available to people who are simple. Now, the worldly sense of simpletons, but in Christ's vocabulary, who are like little children, who believe Christ's teaching without questioning, who pray spontaneously, and who instinctively know what it means to sacrifice, to surrender their wills in expiation for sin. We go on. Now we ask ourselves, among these three, that is, faith, prayer, and penance, or sacrifice, which is the most fundamental and most important? Among these three, unquestionably, the most fundamental is faith. But it has to be the true faith. It must be the Roman Catholic faith, as revealed by the Son of God, who became man and entrusted to the church which he founded, and to the visible head of this church, the Bishop of Rome. As I read now, in one nominally Catholic publication after another, criticism, open disavowal of the teachings of the Vicar of Christ, I see a prayer for the conversion of those sadly, tragically misguided souls who are misleading so many from the true faith. To talk about overcoming sin in the absence of faith is wasted effort. In fact, it is nonsense. And that is why, Holy Father, thank God, has seen fit to issue the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And do you know what? And he issued the Catechism of the Catholic Church to the day on the 500th anniversary of the discovery by Columbus of the New World. If that's not telling us something, I don't know what we'll listen to. All we've been saying, therefore, must be one profound reason Our Lady chose such simple persons as the three children of Fatima to share with them her concern for the sinfulness of mankind. These children were academically untrained. Thank God. In the eyes of a sophisticated world, they were nobodies. But they had the faith. And that, my friends, is what is so desperately needed in the world today. Given the faith, prayer, with the spiritual atmosphere where the children of Fatima breathed in reparation, was the most obvious way that they knew they would appease an offended God who punishes sin by temporal punishment in this life, and even eternal suffering for the suffering souls, dear God, of those who stubbornly rejected the mercy of God. All of this is locked up in our second area of reflection. So now we are ready to ask one more question. Why Fatima is the shrine and the revelations of Fatima are the message for expecting miracles of conversion in the modern world? It seems almost unnecessary to still speak about miracles of conversion. Why? Dear Lord, the world needs them, that's why. I can tell you, the need for converting the modern world from sin has been the theme of modern popes. It is the towering need of our age. It is also the basic message of Fatima. So we ask ourselves how this is to be done. Are we talking in fables and myths, and maybe speaking the language of poetry? A world estranged from God can be converted, but hear it, not by any ordinary means at our easy disposal. It will take a miracle. In fact, a series of miracles to achieve. Are we asking God to work these miracles of conversion? Conversion to faith from unbelief, and conversion from sin to a life of virtue? Yes. Yes, we are. But how? Before we go on, let me just make sure that you realize I'm not indulging in rhetoric or figures of speech. As we'll see, a miracle by definition exceeds all the powers of nature. There are such things as moral miracles, and this is a kind of miracle or cluster of miracles that we're asking Our Lady to obtain from her divine Son. Behind the answer to our question of how is this conversion to be achieved, behind the answer lies the secret of Fatima. It is the presence on earth of Jesus Christ, the infinite God, who assumed human flesh and blood from his mother Mary. Let me repeat and further clarify. We are saying that the massive deluge of sin which the world is now steeped in will take a corresponding cosmic miracle to change the hearts of millions and return these souls back to the God from whom they have strayed. Who can do this? Who can change these hearts? Only God. But once more, I want to be clear. Only God can do this. But it must be the God who became man. The God who became man and during his visible stay on earth worked miracles precisely to testify to his own divinity and convince all of us until the end of time that God can do the humanly impossible just because he is God. We go on. Is there one thing that characterizes Christ's visible stay on earth? Remember, there are many features of Christ's visible stay on earth. No man has ever lived the virtues that Christ lived. But what most stands out are the signs and wonders that Jesus of Nazareth worked in Palestine, that he called miracles. He restored sight to the blind, hearing and speech to deaf mutes. He gave paralytics the power to walk and healed the bleeding and the sick and the lame with a word and a touch of his hand. He stilled the storm at sea and told Peter to come to him walking on the waters. He made sure that Lazarus was dead and, in fact, decaying in the grave. Only then called out, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth. All of these stupendous wonders Christ performed by divine power as God, I know of no more important adversative in any language than the "but" in this sentence. But Christ performed these stupendous wonders by his divine power, but through his humanity as man. Get it? He spoke with human lips, used human saliva, used human words, and exercised his divine omnipotence through his human nature. Now the key. And this is the key to unlock the treasury of Christ's divinity. Jesus, the Son of Mary, is now on earth in the Holy Eucharist. Jesus, the God who became man in the fullness of his humanity, is here to work the same. In fact, on his own promise, even greater wonders than he did during his visible stay on earth. Christ wants us to expect miracles, to look for miracles. Why? Because he is here. That's why he is with us. Then we ask, what is greater to heal? Heal the sick or convert sinners? Give me the Himalayas to move any day compared to some people's stubborn sinful will. As St. Augustine says, it is a higher marvel of divine power. to restore a sinner to friendship with God, then to raise the dead Lazarus back to life. A miracle, by definition, is a visible effect produced by God which surpasses the power of nature. In physical miracles, God surpasses the powers of physical nature, by the wonders that take place at Lourdes. In moral miracles, God surpasses the powers of the human will in bending that will to the will of God, bending that will from belief to faith in Jesus Christ, bending that will from sinful estrangement from God to a humble submission to God's will requires a miracle, and this is the principal mission of Fatima. During my week's stay in Fatima and giving lectures at the shrine, I was struck by the extraordinary humility and deep faith of the thousands of pilgrims coming there from all over the world. But what especially struck me was the number of people, thousands, should I say, walking on their knees in order to respond to Our Lady's plea for the practice of penance for the conversion of sinners. Our Lady, as we know, was the one who prevailed on her son to work his first miracle at Cana in Galilee. She is still the one through whose intercession Jesus wants to perform miracles now on earth in our day. The Son of Mary, the miracle worker of Palestine, is with us in our midst, ready to perform miracles, physical miracles as at Lourdes, and moral miracles as at Fatima, and bring a sin-laden world back to faith in God and obedience to His divine will. But there's one condition. We who have the faith must believe, and we who have the grace must use it to live lives of heroic virtue. See, I'm not speaking either in the abstract or to somebody who is not hearing. From the depths of my heart, I appeal with all of you, beginning with myself, that we realize that God-given responsibility we have to cooperate, I say, with Our Lady in restoring so many who were estranged from the friendship of her divine Son. And the most effective way we can obtain the graces for converting this sinful world, go back to our basic triad, living our faith, and I mean living our faith, though it is costly and painful, seeing God working in our lives, no matter how demanding God's will may be. It means that we, oh dear Lord, we will become so prayerful so we will examine our conscience. Am I praying as much as I should, as fervently as I can? And what sacrifices in time, convenience, giving up things I like, accepting things I do not like. Why? So as to obtain from God the grace that so many souls need to return to the loving God from whom they have strayed. I have a short closing prayer. Mary, Mother of God. It is your will that a sin-laden world return to the embrace of your divine Son. But we know this world will not be converted without our cooperation. Ask Jesus, we beg you, Mary, to open our hearts to his divine heart, so that giving ourselves completely to him through your hands in our lives, we may become channels of his grace for restoring God's friendship to so many souls that have left the friendship of God. Mary, Mother of God. Mary, Mother of Mercy. Mary, our Mother, pray for us. Thank you for listening. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.